That's a, you know, I love studies like that. Now, you know, we got something to research now, especially with the apostles.
Yeah, what happened to Thaddeus?
Yeah, I want to know now. I never caught it. I thought he was in Acts, you know, but I never thought. You know, at work, I like to play jokes, you know, just to keep the morale up. Just, you know, I like to, you know, make the atmosphere light, you know. And I do all kind of things, just to have fun. The guys know what I'm doing. I think the Lord's that way too. You know, if you look at his strategies, when it's finished, a lot happens, you know. And Brother Harden brought out a teaching one time about the Holy Spirit, how the Lord introduced it with the wheat and barley harvest. It's like when one ended, the other one begins. And the enemy had no clue of how all this would happen. And he brought it out so well that it, you know, and when you study it, that's what happened. The Lord's, the end game of what he's doing is a fabulous plan. And sometimes it's comical. Especially when you see Satan lose on such a great scale. He didn't even know that crucifying Christ was just planting a seed, and now we got many people with the same authority that Christ had, that Jesus had.
Praise the Lord.
So, you know, the Lord takes the wicked at their own craftings, you know, and turns things around. But and he can do a mighty work with us, even though we don't know it, mm-hmm. even though we can't imagine it. That's what I love about God. I praise him for that. Okay, we finally made it to Acts chapter 9. Verse 1 reads, And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he got authority to do this from the priest. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Mm-hmm. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Now he, in some ways, he answered his own question. Who art thou, Lord? And he called him Lord. Mm-hmm. And he said, and the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The pricks he was kicking against was the word that he heard from Simon in chapter 7. In chapter 8. When he heard the words of Stephen, that word was in his heart. He was a Pharisee, and he understood the law and all the teachings, the stories of the Word of God from the times of Adam all the way to present. He knew what Stephen said. He heard him say these things. And that shed light on the scriptures, and he was introduced to the scriptures in a perfect way, a more perfect way. But he was kicking against it, trying to hold on to the old traditions that he understood and accepted. And this is everybody's challenge. When you hear the word the wrong way and you agree with it, you'll actually read into it. When you study the word, you'll read into the way you see it, you read that into it. And the only way to overcome that is to continually read him, because what don't fit will be exposed over time as you keep studying the word. In 88, I started the Lord, in 89, the Lord started, he had me to read chapters. When I started reading the chapters, then more light was shed, and he was able to relate to me on greater things. And this has to happen. If people don't study the Word day and night, like they won't have great success, Joshua did. Brain freeze. God told Joshua to study the Word day and night, because you're transitioning from one way of thinking to God's way of thinking. So this is why he kicked against the pricks. He didn't see it the way Stephen did, and he tried to hold on to what he believed. But continuing, he said, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no man. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Now, there's three accounts of this. When he was in court talking about it, on one of the accounts, they heard the Lord tell him where to go. But they didn't hear what Jesus said right here when he said it's hard for thee to kick against the priest, all the dialogue from verse 4 to verse 6, they didn't hear that. But they did hear him say, he talks about how they heard him, Jesus tell him to go to Damascus. All right, continue. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise, and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. So this was news. This became news. They knew what he was up to. Verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel to me, and to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias had to transition too, because now he's got to go and pray for Bin Laden. He's got to go and pray for the man that's after him. He's got to go and pray for, you know, this guy who wants to destroy the church. When the Lord leads us, and sometimes he'll have us to do something on this scale. And I learned it's best to prepare to do whatever he say do and be spontaneous. Because once he give you an assignment, it has to become like a mission to you. Something that you're going to contend to do. You're not going to let anything stop you from obeying what God said to do. What if Ananias said, I'm not going to the straight street? And he didn't go. You know, sometimes these kind of things happen. The Lord always has a plan B and a plan after that and a plan after that to get the job done. But the first plan that he has is the best. So whenever he gets to you, wherever part of that plan is, you may be plan A, you may be plan C. But when it gets to you, be sure to go pray for Saul. Whatever Saul may be, do that part, because it's strategic, it's going to work, the end game is going to be great. Satan's going to be defeated. Don't fail, because you don't have to. We are winners in Him. We don't have to fail. So when it's when the ball's in my court, I want to make the score. I want to hit it where it's supposed to go. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul," he went in faith, "Brother Saul, even Jesus has appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he was the Son of God." He's starting a journey that's going to become very great. Back up here at verse 15, Jesus said, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles." And as long as he preached to the Gentiles, he was in the realm of his anointing. When he tried to go back to Jerusalem and preach to Jews, that's not what his anointing was given for. He was anointed for the Gentiles. That's where he was going to be strong. Sometimes ministers are not doing what fulfilling the greatest, what they're designed to do, because they're not in place. They're not in the jurisdiction of their anointing. If you don't have the anointing to do something, you got to do it by your faith. But it's not going to be the same. You're not going to have God's ability, because God has a strategic plan, and you're operating outside of that strategic plan. And then when he left his post and went somewhere else, the ministry works by sowing and reaping. Every success you have is a seed sown to produce a crop for greater things to come. If you stop that process, now you're back down to just you trying to do something that's in God's will. It's God's will that we witness and be a blessing to people, but we should never leave the post of our anointing. We should never leave that realm. We should never leave the jurisdiction where God sent us.
Most of the time, it's out of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
They don't want to come out of their comfort zone.
You got to.
Hold on to it as long as I can, and it's a destroying mm-hmm. the anointing was there before.
Yeah. Because the anointing, you have to be in place, and you have to be there at the proper time. If you're not there, if the Lord wanted, you know, just like here, in order for my anointing to work, I have to be here now. If I come Wednesday, it won't do no good. Sister Mary.
You know, as you read about Paul's encounter, when you look back to Ananias, God gave him the street to go
yeah.
to, gave him the address,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
gave him what house he was in, what
yeah.
address
uh-huh.
to go
right.
to,
mm-hmm.
and what was taking place in Saul's life, in Paul's life at the time. He was praying. He told him the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yep.
And I believe that's going to come again to God's people. God's going to tell us certain things to do, and gonna tell them just where to go, what to do, you know, where to be, and who you need to minister to. You know, God didn't mind Ananias being real with him. Ananias told him, said, "I don't know about this one, God, because I don't know, you know, if mm-hmm. I really want to go on this mission, because this man killed people." That's what he's known for.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he hesitated a little bit.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And God was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he understand.
He was okay with that. He was saying, no, he's changing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God said he's changing. God told him he was chosen.
Mm-hmm. See, the anointing works with trust. These things have, they really happen all the time. When people, when the Lord give, this, what the Lord told Ananias let's see, verses 15 and 16. When the Lord told him these things, this is not something that Ananias would know to pray for. It's just like Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me saying, now when that happens to you, and it's going to happen, when that happens, that's in the jurisdiction of your anointing. And you have to act on it with trust. And if you do, you're going to have success there. This is beyond you. When teachings come to me, I don't know to pray for. A whole teaching may come. When that happens, it's refreshing. I receive it. I want to receive it. And then I want to be faithful with it. And I don't all, and wherever I say, well, Lord, what are we going to do with this? I want to know who do you want me to share this with? So I strategically share it when God put it on my heart. And then to the people that he put on my heart. So that it'll keep happening. And that's how the anointing grows. It thrives. It's activated when you're faithful with it. All right. Let's see, where are we at? I guess we're at right here at 18. Pick up at 18. But these are things that people, they don't do these things because they don't know to do these things. And they don't know what God can do in them. And you can't see the whole work. If God starts working you, the only way you can see the whole work is if God show it to you. And that's another miracle. But trust me, your anointing, when you act on what he say, you started something that the enemy can't stop. You started something that's going to be a blessing. And it's got to multiply because that's what the anointing does. You have God's ability to do that thing. So the things that come to you, meet it with trust. Act on it. A guy had, Lord, he was in a band around the time we were in a band, and he wanted to get out of that, the band, you know, the playing rock and roll and stuff that was anti-God, basically. But, and the Lord said, give away all your equipment. And he told him what church group to give it to. He said, I did it quick before my mind could talk me out of it.
Yeah.
Now, we were just starting out. You know, I told you about the coke man. They came and witnessed to everybody. We all started getting saved. He was one of the guys that worked at the store, and he got saved too. I was in a band, and he was in another band. And when the Lord told him to give away his equipment, he said, I did it quick. Now, I took that and said, well, whenever God tells me to do something, I'm going to try to do it quick before Thurston talk Thurston out of it. I thank the Lord. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the understanding you've given us, the knowledge you've given us. I thank you for all the curiosity. Bless us to do all that's in your heart without failure. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.